terrible when somebody does the offering and they take your sermon. All the surprise element out of it. So, but thanks. Okay. This morning I want to share a few things with you that I believe might help you. I think we don't often enough, you know, go and sit down and talk to certain things in our lives and start to position ourselves, as Nigel said this morning, in such a place that we confront, you know, the things that we that helps us to overcome. You know, it was beautiful again to do the legacy course this weekend together with some participants, and it was just beautiful to see what God is doing in lives. And I want to just add to that, and this morning go on and really trust that God is going to do a few things in your heart as well. Are you awake? Just okay, ready, strong. Okay, put on a poppy if you don't, so that we can be strong. Yeah, you forgot to say that Hanku was also a soldier, Charlotte. Oh, did? Okay, wonderful. Yeah, we've got a soldier in our midst. No, you must maybe show us afterwards, after this sermon, how to do a few moves to protect ourselves. Guys, yeah, I want to actually talk about something that I believe is going to help us to just cross the bridge to a place where we can start to really live lives of breakthrough. You know, I believe that there's a few things that hinders us to get there. Clearly God wants us to let our cup run over first before he's going to bring in the harvest. And I was, yes, last weekend I was really astonished just by what God is doing in our midst. There's something in my heart that's just turning toward this nation and what God is doing in this nation. And I believe God is going to do beautiful things in days to come in this nation. So that's why we this morning even, you know, celebrate the poppies and, you know, celebrate the culture. I love what it, you know, what it resembles. And I'm in expectation for what God is going to do in this nation. I mean, are you also? Are you awake? Are you ready for this? Okay. Let's get 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 quickly in our Bibles. If you have your Bible here, please turn with me. If not, then it's time to make notes, okay, because you'll have to read through these scriptures in the week, okay? Sufiso, you won't remember them. I know you were learning a lot of words there at work, but this time you'll have to write them down, okay? 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Okay, I want to talk about that this morning. Now, I remember years ago, I was a young pastor in Worcester at the time, and we walked the streets. Now, there's Worcester in South Africa now, and I remember we were walking the streets there, but it was one of the, you know, the poorer areas in Worcester, but also very dangerous. It's not a very nice area. It's actually Durban Street for you guys. It comes from Natal. Durban Street there in Worcester. And I remember walking in the street, and we did some evangelism. At that stage, we were doing these EE3. I don't know if some of you were exposed to that before, but EE3 is just evangelism explosion. It's just a tool to help you to actually share the gospel. So we would go every week. Every week we would go and reach out and, you know, reach out to people and share the gospel on the streets. So it was on a Saturday morning in probably the most dangerous place in Worcester. And we were walking up and down the street and evangelizing people. Now, the next moment, I don't know how this happened, but there was a guy with a knife against my tummy, okay? It's one of those moments where you know, those flashbacks, it's not even a derailment. It's, you know, flashbacks about what did happen in your life, what's going to happen, or, ooh, my children, you know, it's, you just think, you know, what is still to come? You know, your life just flashes before you. And this guy was standing there and he says, listen, I'm a Muslim and today I want to make, you know, a scene. And I want you to share the things that you've shared to the people in this street, share it to me now. So I was standing now very close to this guy. He's standing basically so that you don't see the knife in his hand, but I can feel the point of the knife against my tummy, okay? It's not a good moment. It's not a good gesture. It's not a good idea. But I can tell you, when you're a pastor, now I had this one girl with me. She was very young in the faith, lanky, and I remember at that stage, she came from Springbok in South Africa. It's a very small town. But now I, being the pastor, you know, you must be strong. You must now, you know, show some resilience. And she's now standing next to me, but she doesn't even know that the knife is against my tummy. So she can hear that this guy is now, you know, very aggressive toward me. She's now observing, because next time she will share the gospel. So she's now seeing how I, so, you know, there's just this godly fear that, you know, came over my life, and I was just, you know, boldly starting to just share the gospel. There was no holding back. It was just, you know, as if this was my last time to share the gospel. Jesus would be so glad when I get to heaven and say, good and faithful servant, you've made it, okay? You've at least died well. So at that stage, I remember, you know, sharing the gospel, and then afterwards, this guy looked at me and he said to me, sure, it looks like you are convinced about what you are saying. And then he turned away and he walked, you know, down the street. And so me and Lanky had this conversation afterwards. I was shivering. It's one of those moments where you realize this was very close, okay? But the beautiful thing of it was a principle that God installed in my life at that time of not fearing but trusting Him, okay? And I want to say to you, even if I died that day, you know, at least one thing I got right, and that was to focus on, you know, overcoming fear. But what I can tell you is that we often in life find ourselves in the midst of the society that we are in the midst of our circumstances, so fearful for everything that confronts us that we never get to become overcomers. Okay, and so this scripture talks about a time in Timothy's life where Paul says to him, listen, and I want to just say that, I've said it before and I want to say it today again. Paul did not say to the people, the elders of the church, don't despise the youth of Timothy. Okay? Paul said, Timothy, don't let them despise your youth. Okay? He said, be strong, be courageous. And then he says to Timothy, which was probably a very timid guy, says to Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So this was a time in Timothy's life that I can tell you was quite a harsh word into his life, but it was a time that he, as a father speaking into his life, had to make a few sums and had to make a few choices in how he was going about in following Christ. And I want to say to you this morning, it's time for us to walk boldly in God's promises for our lives. And the beauty of it is that Christ will meet us halfway and He's going to help us to overcome. And I can tell you that the society that we are living in lives fearful lives. You know, I was glad that Melanie said this morning, coming from Africa or South Africa, you see so much poverty. I can tell you, in this country, I've seen almost more poverty, if not in a physical sense, in you know, at least in an emotional sense. There's so many lonely people in this country. There's so many people desperate. I think there's people in the more poorer countries that are better off than most people in this country, because at least they are focused on getting their souls sorted. And I'm telling you that I see in society that we're living in so many people that are fearful to many things. And that's why we even these days get so many names for all kinds of phobias, and maybe I should read a few to you because I can't even pronounce these ones, but let's go for it. Illyrophobia, algophobia, androphobia. There's so many phobias. Okay, it's all phobias. The fear of pain, the fear of man, the fear of cats, the fear of winds. Okay. Hopefully it's not under the blanket winds. Fear of being touched. Fear of spiders. Fear of thunder and lightning. Fear of being alone. Fear of walking. Okay. Fear of falling from high places. There's a lot of phobias. I'm telling you, you can. Really write a dictionary with this. A fear of light, a fear of sinning or imaginary crimes, fear of suffering disease. Jumping around. There is a Z as well. Okay, yeah. Go to the next one. Let's see. What's that scopophobia? Fear of to be observed by people. You don't have that, no. Sophie, so you can't have that when you're in West End. Fear of the dark, fear of food. Okay, I wish I had that fear. That would have been a nice one. I unfortunately don't have that one. Fear of the sea, fear of being poisoned, fear of animals. Okay. Luckily, there's not a lot of animals left in this country, so we don't need to fear too much. But what I want to say this morning, there's a lot of fears that I want to this morning address in your life. Okay, if you have one of those fears, don't think that we are mocking it, because I'm telling you, it's real for those who have it. Okay, and. You know, I've seen many people in my life that in ministry, where I thought, yes, is this a crazy idea to be afraid of? And then, you know, people would really freak out, and their lives are dictated by the fears that rule over them. And I want to say to you, the thing that you fear is the thing that's going to rule over you. You either fear God, or you fear something else. Whatever you fear, you will become. And I want to say to you this morning, although it you know, looks like a very extensive list, and it looks like, you know, impossible to have these fears, it's very real. And the symptoms of fears in our lives is indecisiveness. That's the one. There's three of them that I want to quickly mention. There's probably more, but I want to mention three of them. The indecisiveness, they will always try to spiritualize the indecisiveness until all possibilities of performance is eliminated. Indecisiveness will always allow others to think for you. Courage is what makes Christians more than conquerors. Now, I just want to say, guys, this morning, maybe you struggle with being indecisive, and maybe until now you've justified it as, you know, I'm a very, you know, I think things through. I make sure that I am always on top of my game, and I want to say to you this morning, those fears can rule your life as well. Not making decisions because you're always fearful that you're not going to make the right decision. Procrastination. This is bad habits, but it they look for possibilities of failure in everything. Okay, their reason is the biggest enemy. People who struggle with procrastinating often find themselves in you know, always having reasons why things are not happening. Okay, always having to justify why they are not finishing the task at hand. Overcautious, delayed future, always better opportunities in the future. Delay overcoming and successful living. Avoid God-given responsibilities and is pitiful. Compromise when there is trouble, and use alibis and excuses while real Christians are use difficult situations as stepping stones to bigger things. Now, I want to just say to you this morning, when it gets to us living fearful lives, all of us have a certain extent of fear in our lives. The more we start to surrender to Christ and allow Him to do a thorough work in our lives, the more we will get to the fullness and the boldness of being overcomers. Now, there's a few things that that I want to just say this morning, and I think it's about, let me just give you the number so that you can pace yourself to stay awake. If not, we'll do musical chairs, because there at the back there's better oxygen, okay? So you guys must just keep that one open from time to time to make sure that everyone is awake. Now, we must take a stance against the enemy's veils and even his plans to make us fearful. Now, I want to say this morning, the first thing is fear has one source, and that is the devil. Okay? God does not operate through fear. God don't instill fear in our lives, and He's got no desire to let us experience fear to the extent that we are afraid of things. But rather, God wants us to walk in faith, courage, and the overcoming strength of resurrection life. And so, the source we must recognize this morning as fear is a thing that comes from God. Okay, there's one that's awake. Okay, I'm at least glad that you're awake. The source is the devil. Okay, so let's just get that right. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a... Did you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Sufiso?
God didn't give me a spirit of fear. I mustn't be afraid of anything.
Okay. Okay. Did you recognize that he said spirit of fear? Now, I want to say to you, we often underestimate what fear does in our lives. Because the second thing that I want to mention to you this morning is that fear does not originate from the mind, but it's a spiritual thing. And we must get into an understanding of what fear does to our lives. And we must embrace God, who instills faith and courage in our lives. Are you with me this morning? So let me just read this scripture, Ephesians 4:27. And do not give the devil a foothold. Okay. Are you with me? Guess why you should not give the devil a foothold? Ooh, Laura, are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
Why don't you give the devil a foothold? He will take more, okay? And he will make sure to really come and take a comfort seat in your life. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. So what is the spirit that God instills in our lives?
Sonship.
A position of identity. A place that we know whose we are. Okay? It's not about what you are. It's about whose you are. Okay. Because if, at least it is awake now, whose you are mean that you know that the one that backs you is strong enough to overcome everything that comes your way. So, fear does not originate from the mind, but it becomes physical manifestations in our lives. When we start fearing, there's physical manifestations that happens in our lives. Now, this can be fear of disasters. It can, it can be a fear of your marriage is not going to work. It's going to be a fear. It's just endless. It's a fear that your budget is not going to make it. It's a fear. until you get to a point where you can surrender to God and ask Him for solutions to overcome the enemy schemes in your life. Thirdly, the consequences of fear are not pleasant. It brings discomfort. Victims of fear suffer physical anxiety, intellectual pain, and spiritual torment. Now, why do we want to give the enemy room in our lives if that is the consequence? Okay. Fear brings discomfort. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, can I just mention this morning, if Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you did not receive a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Can we just talk about those three things quickly before we go on? Because we know that love that Paul is talking about is not the coochie-coochie love that you and I know. It's not the, oh, you know what, Jen, you're so beautiful, you're so nice. It's not about the, you know, Nigel, welcome at the church, you know, and if not, then Nigel feel bad. Often we think that love is the spooky thing called affection. The thing where in our minds we've got certain perceptions about how love would be portrayed toward us. Can I tell you that Jesus loved us so much that He would give up His life, and it was not nice? Okay. The kind of love that I'm talking about here is the sacrificial love that Jesus would confront Peter with. And we had a few Sundays ago this conversation. Peter, do you love me? Can we talk about the filial love, the affectionate love? But can we also talk about the agapeo love, the unconditional love, the one that is not always feeling so nice, but it's a commitment to overcome? And I'm telling you, if Jesus has given us a spirit of love, He gives us the place in His heart and understanding that He's so committed to us that He will see our lives through. Are you with me this morning? And He says, love, power. Power, the word power is dynamos. The word that we know is the resurrection life that Jesus stood up out of the grave. He gave us the kind of overcoming power to see all circumstances being subjected under our feet. Are you with me this morning? Which does not mean that you're not going to stand with a knife against your tummy sometimes. Are you with me this morning? Can all of us just this morning agree that it's not always so nice to not be fearful and to live according to the Word of God and to those things that matters in our lives? And then it says a sound mind, which talks about that peace above all understanding. That place where you and I must subject ourselves to the contentment in Christ. Which means that even in the fears that we are facing, you and I must make some choices to get to a peaceful mind in Christ. Are you with me? And you know what? Sometimes I'm fearful. Sometimes I get to what Nigel said this morning, a derail moment where I asked God, but God, you know, you gave me this promise. Why? You know, it doesn't look like the kind of solution that that you promised me. And yet, if I embrace the overcoming power of God, and I go into the inner room, and I go and spend time with God, I still the voices in my head, and I make sure that it comes to peace with where God is at in my life. And therefore, I want to say to you, the how we're going to overcome fear is to embrace the love of God, to walk in the power of God, but also to come to a place where we can control our emotions and our thoughts. To such an extent where we can be focused on what God wants for our lives. So listen to this. It says here in Proverbs 29 verse 25, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Okay. Can I just read that scripture again? Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Okay. So, can I just say this morning that fear is deceptive as well? That it sometimes becomes so part of our lives that we don't know how to live without it. You know, it's like these soap operas. I still can't get it. My wife knows that, you know, in South Africa, they've got lots of these things. I still try to figure out why people are looking at it. If you are one of those people that love soap operas, looks like, yeah, in the UK, it's more serious kind of things that you watch. But it's strange how these stories, they just go on and on and on and on and on. Some of them, I've, you know, almost been born when some of those guys started playing in those stories, and they still today are playing in those stories, and they still as, you know, boring as they were when I, you know, were a young child. But it's strange if you look at these things, how they would use manipulation tools to sort out one another. You know, is it not so that it's this guy that was married to this woman, and this woman actually was married to his brother as well. And yeah, it's just an endless chaos in these stories because they don't have a storyline anymore. It's you know, you must find something to talk about, okay? And it's strange how in these stories they would use manipulation to hinder people to actually make decisions. I don't know. Okay, it looks like you are only safe people, yeah. No one of you ever watch soap operas. But it's as if they would manipulate by the information that they have over people. I know a secret about you, and because I have this secret, I can, you know, make sure that I have a hold over you, and you're going to do a business transaction for me. This is not to the worst extent, but can I tell you, in our lives, the enemy uses the shame in our lives to prevent us to live in the fullness that Christ wants us to live in. And so it would be better to live lives of darkness and of hidden, you know, things, because it helps us to actually, you know, think that we are okay. Now I just want to quickly read here. There's a few alibis and excuses that people uses. If only I had enough money. Listen, this is traps that the enemy has set for so many people, and it is such a net of deception over our lives. If only I had money, I would do the will of God. If only I didn't have a wife and children, then I would have free time to fulfill God's promises for my life. If only I could have life over. Is that not in the movies these days? It's always this, if you could have your life over, what would you have done? You know, it's strange how, you know, we would reflect back and think that, you know, we are so in control of our lives that we will be able to change anything. But can I just say that there's so many excuses to hinder us to come to the fullness of what Christ wants for our lives? There's so many excuses in our own minds, and it's a deception. You have more than enough to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. Are you with me this morning? Guys, we are people of faith. We are people that can walk out of this place and know that God has assigned a certain task for today. And yet fear and comfort has brought us to such a place where we don't fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. And what I found in this culture, and I want to say to you straight, is, you know, we've come to a place where we're so comfortable that whenever we, you know, hit the red tape, or we hit, you know, the resource barrier, or we hit the problem solving, you know, we can't find a solution to this thing, so then we walk away. And I want to say to you, Christ people has resurrection power to find solutions for every obstacle that comes our way. Because my Christ, the Christ that laid down his life for me, has given me all the solutions for the time and the season that I'm in. Are you with me? But you know what? It's so easy to say, you know what, I can't do it, just because here we don't do things like that. And if I hear that once more, I'm going to cry, you know, out, God save me, never mind the Queen. Because guys, God has given us overcoming power. There's nothing too big for our God. I'm so excited about what God is doing, because I'm telling you, I see the potential, and then I see, and as soon as I start to speak to people, and I'm not talking to you, you guys are amazing, you're blessed, I'm not talking to you this morning, so please don't feel condemned. I'm talking about an overall culture that we embrace. If something is just not in the ordinary, if it's not, you know, going according to plan, then, you know, it should not be. I'm telling you, there's a place where we should push into the presence of God and see his overcoming and resurrection power more. Because Christians are not living in the promises that God has for their lives. I don't see a lot of resurrection power around me. It's so beautiful what you're telling this morning, Ruth, because I'm telling you, it encourages me. There's not a lot of people in this nation that can say that. That they've prayed and they've trusted. So please, come and tell the stories. I'm not living in this nation to wait for a better day. I love the people of this nation, and I know that God loves them even more. God is going to do awesome things in their lives. But you know what? We will have to step out in faith and stop with this nonsense where fear and timidity is overcoming us and everything is an issue. There's no issues in Christ. There's no provision too short in Christ. Are you with me this morning? You know, do you think I don't have issues? If I start to tell you my issues, you might cry with me the rest of the afternoon. But relax. Christ is in control. You know? And so, I'm not fighting with you this morning. I'm talking out of something that God is birthing in my own heart. And I'm trusting that God is going to manifest that in all of us. A place where we can step into the society and not be overwhelmed by what it has to offer. And think that the system is going to hinder us to get to where God wants to take us. I'm so encouraged about what was said last weekend. You know, those words of Spurgeon. Guys that was willing, if you read those sermons, you know, I'm so encouraged by those guys, because they were bold enough to step out and at least speak a word of wisdom over this nation, because they love this nation and they can ask God to give them the answers. Now I'm trusting God that we would come to a place where we can step into this nation and see things being changed, because God is all powerful. Because God is love. Because God is not intimidated by this nation or by any nation on this planet. God is excited. You know, and when I listen to Him, He's asking, are you on my page? Are you coming to a place where you are not intimidated? Where you are encouraged by what I'm doing? Because when I move, I want to know that you're with me. That you are going to be in the forefront running and fulfilling the promises that I have for this nation. So, many excuses. I'm not even going to read all of them now. Number five. Fear bears fear. Job 3:25. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. Okay? If you ponder it long enough, it will grow on you. Can I just say that small fears, if not kept under control, will become big fears? Guys, I'm not intimidated by what the enemy brings against us, because I have Christ in me. I've got the resurrection power of Christ working through my life. The things that Job feared has come upon him. Fear of failure opened the door to failure to enter into your life. Just hold on.
Let's do it without fear.
So, selfishness or self-centeredness is a focus on self and our own abilities, and that brings more fear in our lives because we see our own inability. Guys, I'm telling you, if you think that you have anything to offer, you're missing the point. God is all powerful. But do you know that most sick people are self-centered? Okay, the nurse will tell you. They think that they are going to recover and the NHS is going to help them. That's not going to happen, okay? Guys, the blessing is that when we start to get rid of our self-centeredness, God can start to work in our lives. Selfishness is not the climate in which faith flourishes, but love. So you would meet people that are living in fear because of focusing on themselves, and they will always talk about their illnesses, their sicknesses, and their poles that they are using, and you must always listen to their stories. Okay? Guys, we've got resurrection power. I've read a medical article the other day. Most nervous breakdowns are a result from mental illnesses. Most nervous breakdowns are a result from mental illnesses. Sympathy and pity will never help. We need to walk in a place where God can start to operate in our lives. James 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if you do it over and over and over and over, guess what? He will not return again. Because he will see that it has become a stronghold in your life, of a fortress of God operating in your life. Are you with me? Number six, this is the last one. So stand strong. You can go and eat just after this. Fear makes you expect the worst. It feels like the world is going to collapse if things happen to you. Fear results in you being worried about worse things. It leads to nervous breakdown, insomnia, oppression in prayer life, and so forth. Guys, I'm telling you, I remember as a young school kid in primary school, I had to do a speech, and I got it all wrong. I was so fearful to go on that stage, 500-600 people, or other kids. And you know, at the age of 12, 13, you know, they are something else, eh? And I remember my fear to go and speak in front of people, you know, just got worse because I said the strangest things on stage because of my nervousness. And from there onwards, the label just went on. I had this constant fear to speak in front of people. I started to even believe the lie that, listen, I must just be behind the scenes and make sure that I do the job, and, you know, other people must talk in front. And I remember I was confronted by this with the Lord after school, where God said, but did I not call you to be a minister of the word? And I'm telling you, it was one of the worst, and maybe to you it sounds like all of you guys are probably amazing speakers and you get it right. I was so fearful. I'm telling you, everything just fell apart when I had to do any speech. And so when I got to varsity, God said to me, listen, you're going to preach. So I had to overcome this thing in my life. It was the most terrible thing. But you know what? I remember one morning sitting and preparing for what God wanted to do in the sermon. And God said to me, was it at any time about you? Did I not call you because I want to speak to the people? Did I not call you because I have a message and I just need a messenger? You are just so privileged to be part of what I'm busy doing. Stop your nonsense. Get onto the stage and do the best that you can. I've called you to do this. Now remember, from that day onwards, I just realized that I'm just the messenger. If people don't respond after I'm doing an altar call, guess what? It's God's business. If people are not, you know, we've got this ugly tradition in South Africa, where in the traditional church, where people would come afterwards and say to you, that was a nice sermon. And I think, but it was never about nice. Did God speak to you or not? So people would have tea after church and they will discuss how the dominie or the pastor or the reverend, how well he preached. And I just realized, but it's all wrong. It's not about the performance, that it's about what God is doing to his people. I'm just a vessel. And I want to tell you this morning, if it's about preaching or, you know, you sharing the word at work and just being faithful from day to day and trusting God, let's not forget that it's not about you. It's not about your ability to be a nice person or not so nice person. I've seen God work through the most weirdest people on this planet. I'm telling you, you know, I was always thinking, this Reinhard Bonnke guy, how can God use him? Because he's so strange. He got more people saved on this planet than probably any evangelist in all ages. God can use anyone to do his work at any time. And I want to say to you this morning, it's not about you. And so we get so fascinated by the fears in our lives about what we are not and what we should be and what we're going to be one day, and what that our lives are running away from us and we're missing what God has in store for our lives. Are you with me this morning? God did not call me to have a spirit of fear. but of love, power, and a sound mind. Let's stand this morning. You know, I was actually so surprised the other day when I read Revelations 21:8. And this is not to condemn you, because if you are condemned, then I'm condemned as well. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderous, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake and burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is very heavy stuff. But what I can tell you, I was surprised to see that the cowardly and the unbelieving was part of such a list of people. Let it not be said of me that I've been a coward and I've missed the will of God. And I'm not condemning you this morning. Listen me out. But I'm telling you, I want to be at a place where I can be one day in front of God and saying, God, just say that those words, good and faithful servant. I want to say to you this morning, I don't know what your giftings are. I'm just excited about it because you are here, okay? And God has placed you here. And there's something in you that must be significant enough for God to use, because that's why He placed you here. So relax about what you don't have and start to enjoy the blessing of Christ being the Savior of your life. The fact that you and I know that we are overcomers. Can I quickly get some music here? Because I'm going to trust this morning that we are going to make a few bold steps toward victory in our lives. I want to trust that this morning, you know, you will at least show the willingness from your side to say, God, I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know what's the story. I don't even worry about what people are thinking of me. As long as you can say, like Paul to me this morning, oh God, stop fearing. Stop being intimidated about anything and everything that society is throwing your way. Stop thinking that society is so all together that they can stand against an almighty God. Oh God, I'm so humbled by the fact that nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new. Father, even in this civilized society, like the one that we are in, we so easily get overwhelmed by structure. Father God, even the system that operates over us. Overwhelmed this morning. Even being remembered or reminded by Remembrance Day and what happened, we recognize that man left to his own devices will destroy himself. Society as it is, if it goes on the way that it's busy doing, it will destroy itself. Oh God, we ask you for mercy. We ask you for grace for this city. We ask that you will come and hold this city in the palm of your hand. And oh God, we pray for this city this morning. We pray that you will, Father, rather bring us to our knees than us being humbled by you. Father, we recognize that the society that we're in, Father God, think that they've got all together. Father, yet we as your people know there's so much more. And Father, that's why you will keep us responsible. You will ask us some difficult questions one day about this city that you left. Oh Father, we come to you and we ask you for this city. We ask you for our neighborhood, we ask you for our families. We ask you for the workplace. That you will give us opportunities, Father God, not to even invite people to church, but to see their lives being transformed by the King of Kings. Father, I pray this mentality when we think the church must grow, Father God, and we lay it down before you. That is your business. You are not in the church growing business. God, you are in saving people's lives. This morning we choose that you will use us effectively, Father God, to change the communities that we're in. Oh God, we so love what you're doing in our hearts. You are circumcising us where it matters most. But in our vanity, we thought that we know all the answers. We are here this morning, and you know that God is talking to you. You're intimidated in some or other area of your life. And I want you to come in this morning, not to be exposed, because that's not the point, but to deal with the issue and to come to Christ as a memorial son in your life. I want you to come to the front and just stand there. I'm trusting that this morning, this will be the start of beautiful things to come. I just feel this morning, there's even somebody that feels like you are so afraid to miss God, and it has become such an obsession in you that you forget to live. You are so afraid that you are going to miss God's plan for your life, that you are missing out on living. This morning God says, come to me, come and relax, come and just experience my love. That is you, I want you to really come. This morning, I just sense that there's somebody here this morning, your children, has become such a lord over you, that you are afraid that you're going to miss growing them up well, and it has become such a fear in your life that you're missing the mark. It's grace, and God is saying this morning, come and lay it down. That fear that you've got, it's going to become a reality if you don't deal with it. So it's in this morning, there's somebody here, you've always been so afraid to fail. So afraid that you even stop trying. You rather go with the flow. This morning God is saying, come and receive your healing. I want to ask the worship team to just softly, keep on doing worship, and if for those of you that need prayer, please do not leave this place without making right with God. You know, it's the grace of God is that. I want to just emphasize again, it's not about you. God will help you to overcome. But this morning, the grace is the love of God. To walk into His love. So, please, if you want if you want some coffee and tea, please go and enjoy it at the back. Just allow us to finish ministering here. But please enjoy the fellowship with us. And let's face the giants in our lives.